shout now. Anybody can shout after they see what God has already done. Shout now. Somebody dance to show the devil you're still standing. Somebody dance to tell the devil, is that all you got? Somebody dance to say, I believe the best is yet to come. This morning we were talking about the fact that all the history of the Old Testament is a history of a Pentecostal experience or a spiritual experience. And although the non-biblical quasi-pseudo church, which is not a church at all, because the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And if it doesn't agree with Peter and James and John and Andrew and Paul and Jesus and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, Zechariah and Zephaniah and Haggai and Malachi, if it doesn't agree with them, then it's not the church. Maybe a social club, may have a steeple on the roof. Could be a number of things. But it's not the church. The church is defined by the Word of God. Set in stone. Literally. Grafted in to the branch that was Israel. Through the pages of the book of Acts, we read the definition of the church of the living God. They were baptized in Jesus' name exclusively. Not one person baptized in the titles Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Because that baptism didn't emerge until 300 years later. And so when it's time to baptize somebody, as we did the Irvin's cousin tonight, there he is. He went down and the person conducting the baptismal service said, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. The reason that is the utterance is because that's how they did it in the Word of God. Everybody was baptized in Jesus' name. When it comes time to get the Holy Ghost, we get it like they got it, and we speak in tongues. Because everybody that received the Holy Ghost in the Word of God spoke in other tongues. And so we don't believe in the traditional Protestant invisible, silent, scarcely noticeable infilling of the mighty God. Because that's not how it happened in the Word of God. In the Word of God, it came suddenly, like a rushing, mighty wind, and it filled all the house, and fire came down. John said he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Then at Samaria, it was the same way, Holy Ghost. And at Cornelius' house, the same way. And at Ephesus, the same way. And so we do these things, whether it's a pursuit of holiness or worship. We take our identifiers from the Word of God. The world's church has long since departed from the Word of God. But tonight, we just like to testify that God is alive and well. His word is yet true. The name of Jesus is still mighty. The Holy Ghost is still available. God still changes lives and He puts families back together again. The miracle of God is yet moving in the earth today. And everything that God promised in the book is still a promise in 2009. And everybody that knows it, give Him a little bit of praise right now and magnify His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we follow this Pentecostal or spiritual experience through the old and emerging into the New Testament. And we understand that if you're going to have a real and a genuine and a biblical relationship with God, it's going to have that spiritual pulse. We began to talk about this as we talked about Zechariah, and we're making our way through the Old Testament. Zechariah was our last stop, and now we've touched in the first few chapters of Malachi. But in all of those books, you can move from chapter to chapter and find a presentation from an angel, or a visitation from an angel, or the word of God, or a vision, or supernatural signs in every chapter in those Old Testament prophets. And so we understand that they rode a tide and a flood of spiritual pulse and prophetic pulse. And that same flow is moving through the earth today. And we are those now upon whom the ends of the age have come. And we stand as did those prophets in their day. And God was looking in the earth to find somebody to carry the mantle and to walk in the Spirit and to say yes to the Word of God. And He found those Old Testament prophets. And then He found that first rough crowd at Galilee there in the New Testament. And here we are all the way down 2,000 years later, 2,500 years from Zechariah and Malachi. And God is yet in this house looking for somebody that will move in the Spirit of God. Don't let this thing ever distill down and settle down to just some sort of an intellectual or academic or cognitive process. But this thing has to be real. This is something you can feel. This is something that possesses. This is something that changes. This is something that is likened to a fire shut up in my bones. This Holy Ghost. And so we have compacted together that we will serve God. And we have come together in contract to say, we'll serve Him by the power of His word. And we've come together to say, ain't nobody gonna turn us around from what we've determined to do in the kingdom of God. Not height, nor depth, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor angels, nor demons, nor any other creature. And we've determined that as we make our way and we emerge from the spiritual pulse, the river of prophecy that we find flowing through the Word of God and through the world itself, here we stand, and we've crested out of that flow, and we have our moment. We have our little time that God has given us. And the question for our day and for our generation is going to be the same as it has been for generations past. Because if we could uncover the spiritual flow of the history of the people of God, we find generations after generation of Israel that never tapped their potential, that never really lived for God, that broke the surface of the prophetic flow and cascaded back down into the sands in the bottom of that river to be raised at the judgment. But they squandered their moment in time, and they squandered the calling of God for their generation. But that call is in this house tonight. And we've seen a lot of folks come and go. But I'm telling you, I'm looking at folks tonight that have got backbones like saw logs, and minds that are made up, and feet that are fixed, and hearts that are determined. Am I talking to anybody in this house? Is there an amen in the house tonight? My God, my God, my God. We're doing something that's never been done in the city of Birmingham before. We're doing something right now that's never been done in the city of Birmingham before. I'm telling you, we're doing something right now. You're living in the middle of prophetic fulfillment right now. It was prophesied years ago in this city. It hasn't happened to this point, but it's happening right now. There are fine churches in this metropolitan area, but I'm talking about right here in these walls tonight. We're walking hip deep in prophetic fulfillment. We're rising up out of the pulse of God and His Spirit and the Word of God. And the question is, what will we do with what God has called us to become? If He tarries, and if we finish our race, and we slip back down into the flow and disappear from the memory of man, what will our moment in the church have been like? Praise God. What will our moment have been like? All of Europe was in the clutches of a madman. And nobody, even the Prime Minister of Great Britain, nobody had the guts to stand up, because they were afraid. At that point, he had already gobbled up Czechoslovakia, and he had already gobbled up Poland, and he had already made inroads in Northern Europe, and he was coming down to have at France, and nobody would stand up. But there was this guy, and he was a phenomenal intellect. But he just came out of political obscurity. But the most powerful thing about him was not his intellect. The most powerful thing about him was his will. And he exerted his will, and a little tiny island nation stood up, and Hitler bombarded them for months and for months, and sent rockets and sent bombers and tried to take the heart out of that little island nation. And before we ever came and got involved in that war, that man had already turned the tide. He had already turned the hearts of that nation, because he just simply told them over that old cigar that he was chewing on, he just said, "We will fight them on the beaches, and we will fight them in the villages, and we will fight them in the city streets, and we will fight them at the coast, and we will fight them in the heart of the land. But we will never give up." He just said, "We by will have the power to exert influence over our own destiny." My question for you tonight is, how much of God, how much of the kingdom, how much of the word, how much of the promise do you want for your home and your life and your family? I obviously am not going to read a text. I just feel so much Holy Ghost destiny in this house tonight. My God, you're standing in the middle of fulfilled prophecy. You're standing in the middle of something that's never been done in the city of Birmingham before. Not an apostolic church. Not like this church. Not like this place. And God gets all the glory. God gets all the credit. Because we just shouldered up under the yoke and said, "God, I want to be a part of this. I just want to see how much trouble you can cause for the principalities and powers in the city of Birmingham. I want to see how many bar rooms you can shut down. I want to see how many crack houses you can close down." The problem's not on the street. The problem's not in the bar. The problem's not at the crack house. The problem's not the devil. The answer is the church of the living God. Well, praise God. I want you to just shake your neighbor a little bit. Tell him we need more Holy Ghost. We We are not making any progress at all. We need young ladies that will walk in a hall of a schoolhouse trembling under the power of the Holy Ghost. Talking in tongues. Laying claim, taking authority, and saying, this place belongs to God. I claim this place in the name of Jesus and by the blood of the Lamb. And the children and the young adults that walk in this place, they are going to feel a tremor of Holy Ghost. Do you know that when Peter quoted from Joel, he was talking to you. He said, this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then the last day saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Everybody say, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Praise God. What is prophecy? It's the moving of the Spirit of God through those Old Testament characters. And it's the moving of the Spirit of God through these New Testament characters. And all God, you know, God does everything by the spoken word. He created the world and the heavens by the spoken word. He created everything in the natural from the spoken word. Guess what he's done throughout the ages through the Old Testament, and guess what he's doing today? He's still moving and creating and shaping and changing and drawing by the creative word. Where's the creative word tonight? It's in you, Lisbo. Stand up. Act like you're somebody. It's down inside that Holy Ghost that God put in you. What happens when you lose? What's the thing the devil is most afraid of? That you'll stand in the middle of your home or your school or your city or your place of business and begin to proclaim what God is able to do. I claim this place in the name of Jesus. I remember I used to pick up Brother Billy Cole to bring him to church. And this started years and years ago in Baton Rouge when I was a lot younger than I am now. But Brother Cole, it just out of the blue would shock my soul, because we would be heading to church or moving, just kind of moving down the highway or stepping out of the vehicle. And he would say in that huge voice of his, he would say, "We come in Jesus' name." And my God. I felt the asphalt roll. I felt something moving all over the place. But it's not the man. It's the power of that name. How many of you have been down in the water in Jesus' name? How many of you have been born again of water and of spirit? How many of you are in the family of God and are children, sons and daughters of that name? I want you to just try that a little bit and just say, "We come in Jesus' name." No, with authority, say, "We come in Jesus' name." Come on, every knee's got to bow. Every tongue's got to confess. Every dark thing's got to move out of the way. Every hindering thing. Does anybody have some things you want to move out of your house? Move out of your job? Move out of your city? Move out of your family? Do you have anything you'd like to see God move on? I tell you, God gave you something powerful when he gave you that mighty name of Jesus. Well, praise God. Feel Holy Ghost in this house. Praise God. I have no idea what we're going to do in the next 15 minutes. But we're not going to go much further than that. Praise God. The supernatural is woven throughout the Word of God and the history of God's people. When you get down to the New Testament, and this is, and I won't go back, but we read five selections this morning from Malachi. And God said, "You've wearied me." And the people said, "We don't understand how." And God said, "I love you." And the people say, "We don't understand how." And he makes five proclamations to them about their condition and their relationship. And they say, "Wherein? How is that the case?" They don't understand God. And they are the covenant people of God. They have somewhere in the night, they've slipped away from the foundational underpinnings of a relationship with God. And all they are is religious. And I'll just tell you, the last thing, I would rather be on a bar stool tonight than be a dead, dull, dry, plucked up, lifeless, pseudo child of God. I'm just telling you, if we're not going to have church, I'm just going to go get drunk. I'm just telling you, if we're not going to have, it's not good enough to be traditional. It's not good enough to be religious. It's not enough to be this in name only. And if I'm not going to have the real thing, I don't want anything to do with it at all. John chapter 1, he came into the world and the world was made by him. And the world didn't know him. He came into his own, verse 11, and his own received him not. God came to his own people, but he couldn't get in the house. I'll tell you this, if God wants to move this city and he can't get an apostolic church to move it, he will rain down fire and Holy Ghost on drunks and harlots and drug dealers and people that have never known God, and he'll raise himself up a church. He's already been there and done that. God, I feel Holy Ghost hunger in this house tonight. I don't want God to have to go somewhere else. I want God to be able to come here and the people of God to say, this is God. I feel the Holy Ghost. I want you to shake yourself a little bit. Just tell somebody, I feel Holy Ghost in this. Does anybody really feel Holy Ghost in this house? I feel something crawling up and down my back. I feel something moving in the depth of my heart. I feel something like a warm breeze flooding this house right now. My God, my God, my God. And when he moves like that, be it far from us. We're wondering what time we're getting out. Oh, we don't know. I don't want God to visit us in the middle of the night and say, I've come to you so many times. And for us to say, when did you come? For God to say, I've called you. And for us to say, when did you call us? For God to say, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty. You didn't give me drink. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was destitute. You didn't come see about me. I don't want to hear that and say, when did we miss you? I want to be among a crowd of people that when they feel a bump, they go, whoa. God's moving in this place. God's doing something. God's about to do something. God wants to do something. God is looking for a vessel. God is looking for a voice. John chapter 3, Jesus tells the traditionalist, the religionist Nicodemus, he said, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. He said, first, you must be born again, John 3:3, or you cannot see the kingdom of God. You got to be born again, or you can't even see what we're talking about. There's people that come in here and they sit and they look at this and they go, these people are nuts. They can't see it. They don't know it. But we come and it's like, all right, we're having church. All right, I get to hang out with the people of God. All right, got a special preacher coming. All right, choir's about to sing. All right. But they can't see it. Entry into the supernatural is a birthing. He said, you got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. That's why baptism in the name of Jesus and the infilling of the Holy Ghost is absolutely necessary. You can't have covenant with God by tradition. You cannot have covenant with God by religion. You can't have covenant with God without being born again of the water and of the Spirit. That's where the veil is lifted off your eyes. And you can begin to sing, to see. That little group that got the Holy Ghost Wednesday night, we were standing down here after church, after they had been been baptized. This is her first time. She was Presbyterian. Her first time to be in an apostolic church. She said, when I came up out of that water, it felt like something rolled off of me. We've been troubled about so many things. We've been worried about so many things. But when I came out of that water, it felt like something just had rolled off of me. Something left me. Is there a witness in the house? Did anybody experience deliverance when you came up out of the water? In Jesus' name. It's a birthing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and beginning in verse 7. And we dealt with this just a little bit last Wednesday night. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The devil doesn't know what God's about to do. But we have an idea about what God's about to do. It's the most ironic thing in the world that you would let the devil drop a little trinket in front of you and lure you away from the great spiritual destiny that God has for your life. The princes of the world didn't understand it. Verse 9, everybody say, but it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. My God, you can't see this with a natural eye, and you can't hear this with a natural ear. And if you feel yourself drifting away from it, and the allure and the excitement of it is wearing down for you, there's nothing wrong with the Holy Ghost. There's nothing wrong with the church, but you're going too close to things in Egypt, and you're getting carnal, and you're losing your vision, and the veil is closing back down again. You need a praying through. You need to find yourself an altar. You need to talk in tongues. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. This is the New Testament. I want you to know this living for God business is a spooky business. It's a supernatural business. It's a spirit-filled business. It's full of word and prophecy and the breathing and moving of God upon your life and things that are not explainable in the natural. God revealed them to us by his Spirit. Has God been showing you some things by his Spirit? Come on, how many of you hear from God? How many of you pray and you really hear from God? How many of you have gotten direction from God in just the last few weeks? For what man, verse 11, knows the things of God save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And it's deep calling unto deep. And that's how we connect with God. By the Spirit of God. And we've got to have a spiritual experience. And we've got to have that prayer life. And we've got to have that worship. And we've got to have that word in our life. And we've got to submit ourselves to the shaping of the hand of God. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. I saw a church sign this past week where their evangelism is built around a great big meal that they're cooking. I remember, Brother Jerry, when you first came, you were surprised at how many people we could get in that little frame building down there. And we didn't even cook supper for them. Brother Jerry was really interested in that because he was cooking supper for a bunch of Baptists. It's hard to get them down there even when you fed them supper. But when you've got the fire of the Holy Ghost and you've got something real in the house, he said, y'all don't feed them? I said, we don't feed them nothing. And we're not going to start either. If you got to have spaghetti to lure you to the house of God, we're going to find some Egyptian out there that'll come and transform and live for God out of passion. And I love church dinners, and I love feeding the elders, and I love feeding the new converts, and I love all that, and it's part of Pentecostal heritage, to eat and to eat well and to eat often. But our evangelism is God has something for you. There's fire in this Holy Ghost for you. God's hand is on your life. Come and see what God will do. Well, praise God. Which things we speak not the words of man's wisdom, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Verse 14, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man cannot understand your shout. The natural man cannot understand your frenzied worship and your weeping in the presence of God. The natural man can't get this. And if you find yourself growing bored with church and you find yourself settling down, remember, sweetheart, there's nothing wrong with God and there's nothing wrong with church. You're just settling back and reverting to type. You're turning back into that fallen Adamic nature. And you can't see the things of God. You can't feel the things of God. You start finding trouble and fault with everybody around you. And you're just looking for an excuse and a way to walk out of the house of God. I'll tell you, you need to run for your life. You need to run down to this altar. You need to run down to this altar and say, God, have mercy on me. My heart's growing cold. My spirit is not in touch with yours. The natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. They are spiritually discerned. And this then is the trend of the New Testament. It is a projection of that Old Testament spirituality, prophecy, flowing of the Spirit of God, emerging into the New Testament. You have multitudes of Protestant churches who have completely forsaken the flowing of the Spirit of God. There is an emerging movement in the apostolic movement tonight that would embrace that same deadness and sing the same dead songs and have the same dead services and live and dress and affect the same culture and lifestyle of the Egyptians outside, so that you can't tell any difference if you're in the house or you're out the house. You can't tell any difference if you're in the church or you're out on the street with them, because they've forsaken the Word of God. I'm telling you, there is a message of separation. There is a message of holiness. These are not natural religious things. These are deeply spiritual things. This holiness business is a deeply spiritual thing. This separation business is a deeply spiritual experience. You can't live like them and fail to become like them. You can't love what they love and maintain your experience in the kingdom of God. Praise God. The problems you're having in life are spiritual problems. The answers you need are spiritual answers. How many of you have ever found that as you pursued God with a heart of passion, that from some unexpected place, like God working with his left hand, brought an answer into your life for something that you needed? Anybody experienced that? You knew you had a need, but you pressed in to seek the face of God. And then God, as you pursued the will and the plans of God, God just dropped handfuls on purpose out in the middle of your life and your field. Anybody experience that? You have some dreams, you have some visions, you have some desires. Attach your life to the flow of God's pulse and prophetic flow, and those things that you desire, those things are going to be closer to your reach than ever any natural pursuit or natural solution could offer. Now, I'm going to give you chapter and verse for that. We're about done here. Malachi chapter 3. We are in Malachi. And no, I'm not going to preach on tithing. But let's look at it. This is the same thread, the same pulse that runs through that message on response. Your response is everything. The young king, when he was told by the old prophet to take those arrows in his hand and pound those arrows on the ground, he had no idea that he held the power of deliverance over his enemy in the hand that held those arrows. There was no mechanical, nor rational, nor natural connection between arrows in your hand pounding the ground and defeating your enemy and the armies of your enemies. But he didn't know. God wasn't looking for him to defeat his enemies. God was looking for a passionate response. And as he took those arrows and he timidly struck them on the ground, the prophet was furious with him because he said, you could have completely consumed him, but now you'll only defeat him three times, because that's how many times he struck the ground. And the history bore out, and his enemies lived to fight him another day and defeat him. But he had the answer in his hand, and it seemed to be totally unrelated. But in this business of living for God, we are pulling chains, and we don't know what they're connected to. And we're pushing buttons, and we're turning wheels, and we don't know what they open and what they close. But we're working in the kingdom of God. And as God gives you something small to do, and you do it with all of your heart as unto the Lord, you never know that that was a lever that's going to open up a great door of potential and power in your life. My God, the apostle saw that, and he said, whatever you find to do, do it with all of your heart as unto the Lord, because you just don't ever know what God is about to open up in your life. Malachi chapter 3, and beginning in verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you say, wherein have we robbed thee? See, they don't know him. They can't see him. In tithes and offerings is God's answer. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, this is where I wanted to go, but I had to do that to set context. Everyone say, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now, herewith, or by bringing the tithes in, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. How many of you believe the word of God? How many of you know where the drawstring is on the window of heaven? There's not a natural corollary. There's not a rational way that this is connected. But God says, if you'll obey my word, and I'll tell you, this business of obedience is not religion and it's not doctrine. It is deeply spiritual. And it works a deeply spiritual work in your life. We're not just a part of a confederation of people that believe and have the same ideas. We are walking in the pulsing flow of God's prophetic river tonight. And when you obey the word of God, the things of God open up in your life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He said, if you'll do what I've asked you to do, I'll open the windows of heaven. Well, praise God. How many of you have found him to be true in that? You obey God, and God does something incredible in your life. And watch what he says. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. How many of you saw the devil today? How many of you could get your hands on the devil today? Has anybody ever found a way that you could shoot him or stab him or kick him? And I know you want to sometimes, but how can you get your hands on him? He's a spirit. But God said, if you'll obey my word, I'll take care of the devil. If you'll obey my word, he gives you something small to do. He gives you something insignificant to do. Your natural mind says, oh, I'll just walk around that. I won't really do that. That doesn't look like something I really want to pour myself into. But God gives you some small thing to do, and you do it with all of your heart as unto the Lord, and God kicks the devil. Well, praise God. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. And he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before her time in the fields, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Deuteronomy 28, same song and dance. If you obey my statutes and my rules, you see, this business of obedience and this business of adherence to the word of God in the holiness, in the separation, in the stewardship, in all of those areas that God has called us to be faithful in. It's not religion. It's not tradition. It is deeply spiritual. And it pulls and it moves and it is a catalyst. And it is effective in a very powerful spiritual way. And God begins to move on your behalf. And all nations shall call you blessed. He said, if you obey my word, I'm going to bless your storehouse. I'm going to bless your house. I'm going to bless the fruit of your womb. I'm going to bless you in the city. I'm going to bless you in the country. I'm going to bless you when you're going out. And I'm going to bless you when you're coming in. Did God say that? We're not going to read it all tonight because it's too long and I'm ready to quit here. But God said, if you'll obey my word, I'm going to pour out. He said those blessings are going to overtake you. I don't care how fast you're moving, how fast you're running. Those blessings are going to overtake you. They're coming from somewhere way back behind you where God has already planted them and set them in motion. And they're going to come and overwhelm your life. Has anybody just woke up in the morning sometimes felt like, I am so blessed of God. God has blessed me so richly and so wonderfully. He says, but if you don't obey me, he said, the curses are going to overtake you. Praise God. We are in a deeply spiritual covenant with God. And I can't begin to tell you what I think God's going to do here. But this thing is cumulative in nature. And it's beginning to gain momentum. And it's just, I'm looking at these young men, these boys. I'm looking at all these babies in this house. You can't walk in this house for stepping on a baby. They are everywhere. And they're all getting loose in the aisles. And they're all piping out in the middle of service. And they're all talking back to the preacher. They are everywhere. Do you know what that's going to be in just a little while? Do you know what's about to happen in this place? And I keep seeing this wall knocked down. And I keep seeing another section just like this section over here. And another section just like that section over here. And this platform running straight out through here. And I just keep seeing that. And I see Brother Jerry running. You want to run the bulldozer or you want to run the truck? We'll swap out. But we'll cut that bluff down over there. And we'll make some more parking. And we'll cut down all the trees. Hello, Al Gore. Don't get me started. I love the sound of trees crashing to the earth. I love the smell of sawdust in the air. Brother Jerry, God's about to do a work here. The principalities in this city have been broken. My God. And all God needs is somebody that will harness up, yoke up. Sounds like work, doesn't it? It's all he needs. But he says, in that, you'll find rest for your souls. Praise God. Let's stand. I know this has been weird church tonight. Let's stand. Could we come down around the altar? Bring your families down. Do you have family? If you don't have family, would you beg somebody to adopt you? Oh, no, you're all We need a traffic cop. You're all milling around. Get over there and go over there and come up on the steps if you're the first one. And make room. Out of your heart, I want you to, if you're the authority in your family, I want you to begin to tell your family what God's about to do in your home and in your family and in the city and in the church. I want you to begin to tell them what God is about to do.
Praise Him! Praise Him! Praise Him!
The little boy down here receiving the Holy Ghost. What you're doing here is a deeply spiritual thing. This is not a traditional religious thing. I feel Holy Ghost all over this. If you'll just push this a little bit, this altar's about to blow up on you right now. This altar's about to blow up in you right now. Somebody just step across the line and let God move. Somebody lay your hand on them and just talk in tongues with authority. Let that Holy Ghost flow in your prayer. Let that Holy Ghost flow. Let that power of God flow. Let that anointing flow. Living water break forth. Hey! Hey!
Give him praise.
our hands up to Him and bless His name. Praise God. God is good. Praise God. So we're going to see 100 people in one night get the Holy Ghost. I've seen that, but I've seen it in the Philippines. It's happened in the U.S., but it's never happened here. It's never happened in Alabama. It's never happened in Birmingham. But we're going to see that. You know how that begins? It begins, you say that. And you believe that. Because you tell me, is that God's will to give 100 people the Holy Ghost in one night? I want you tomorrow morning, I want you to walk on the job or walk in your school. And I want you to begin to prophesy what God is about to do. How God is about to shake the place and change the place. Do you know the power of life and death is in your tongue? God bless you. Prayer here Tuesday night. Apostolic service on Wednesday night. Have a happy Labor Day tomorrow and hope that you don't have to labor. And be sure to love and bless somebody before you leave the house today. Give God some glory for 11 people getting the Holy Ghost Wednesday and Sunday.